Holmesdale Borough Council meeting, October 18th, Holmesdale High School, 359 Terrace Street. You're now being recorded. Mary, did you want to speak? You can sign in if you want. You can sign in if you want to speak. Okay, here's an agenda. Yeah, you can take one.
Because they have to make these tanks, or they have to fight the ground, because these are the original.
Hi, let me see. I know you're a knife. Is it going to go right to the roof? Who are you? Oh, okay. All right. I know. Okay. I'm looking for a check. Is there a check here tonight?
Check.
Good evening, everyone. Hey, we're loud. Before the meeting begins, the mayor would wish to speak. Mayor Campbell.
Thank you. I'm going to say a quick word of prayer before we start the meeting this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We ask for your wisdom and your strength during this meeting this evening. We ask for listening ears as we listen to everybody speak. And we ask for your patience and your kindness as we go through this meeting this evening. We also ask for your blessings and protection over all of our fire, police, military, EMTs, doctors, nurses, everybody who's dealing with what they are dealing with right now. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to call this meeting to order at 6:08 p.m. Unless we have been doing roll call for officials, but since this is an in-person meeting this evening, we do not need to do that. However, I would ask that those present all please rise and pledge allegiance at this time. I pledge allegiance to the flag of
of the United States of America, and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, everybody. First thing we do this evening is for those who are here to do public comments. We will do that in a few minutes. But I know that the probability most people here this evening concerning our budget proposal. So at this time, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Jerry Newbon, who is our finance chairman, and he will go over the budget with you for the coming year. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all for coming out. The budget's about 300 or so lines. We'll go through one line at a time, and I'll take questions. We'll be here till about 11 or 12. That's a joke. We won't do that. Don't worry. I'll hit the key points for you. We'll try to keep it simple. I'll let you know what you want to know and get you out of here. The full budget is available on our website, so if you want to see every single line, it's out there. Please take a look at it. It'll also be available at the Borough Building in the near future. So I'd encourage you to go ahead and take a look at that. If you have any questions, you could reach out to the Finance Committee. We've been meeting since July every week to ensure that Homesdale has the best budget that we can possibly have. So let's begin a review of the budget. Because we've been carrying a cash balance for the last few years, the Finance Committee is not recommending a property tax increase for the year 2022. So that's good news. Some highlights, we did try to have an emphasis on improving public safety. So for our police department, we did put two new officers in the budget, and then we're continuing a capital budget to allow their cruisers to be replaced as needed so we don't get ourselves caught up in an issue where we had an old vehicle that needs replacing and no money to do it. The fire department, continuing the same theme, public safety, we increased the fire tax millage from 0.4 to 0.5. And to accommodate that, we decreased the general purpose tax by 0.1, so that's no tax increase to you, just reducing our general purpose tax. Another thing we did was take back the payment of the fire hydrants. That was something that used to be an expensive item on the fire departments. The borough is going to do that. The logic being that whether we have a fire department or not, we have fire hydrants, so that should be our responsibility. So that will allow them over $20,000 a year to work within their budget. Also on stormwater, we budgeted $50,000 for stormwater repairs in 2022. We would really like to budget for some improvements as well, but the current tax base does not fully allow for improvements, but there are lots of alternative funding for stormwater specifically, so we're going to continue to seek those methods out. A couple of things about fiscal responsibility. Doing. Just last year, for our 2021 budget, we added line items to account for PTO and comp time liabilities, which was never in the budget before. Always something that could have potentially been harmed with by surprise. The 2022 budget will also include that line item. Also, the insurance committee worked to reduce that line item. We enacted policies to get PTO and comp liability down to a more manageable number in the years to come. We also propose a $300,000 tax anticipation note for 2022, which will serve two purposes. It helps the borough retain creditworthiness and a good reputation among the local banks, and it ensures that we'll have enough capital to operate through May of 2022 when tax bills begin to be paid. We've also been working with the Greater Homestead Partnership. We budgeted $15,000 in 2022 to match grants sought by GHB for economic development purposes. We've been enjoying an improved relationship with the GHP. This line item will help to promote the downtown revitalization process. Where does your tax money go? A lot of times I hear individuals comment that their tax bills are very high, which I don't disagree with. But I thought a breakdown of where your tax dollars go might be helpful. In 2021, 57% of your property tax dollars went to Wayne Highlands School District. 27% went to Homesdale Borough. And 16% to Wayne County. Of course, that's if you live within the borough. Thus, on a property within the borough, assessed at $100,000, the owner would have paid about $1,800 to Wayne Highlands, $865 to Homestead Borough, $499 to Wayne County for a total of $3,174. Of course, we know operating a school district is an expensive endeavor. We're very fortunate to have such a high quality school district, but I know many of us, myself included, tend to pass our tax bill off to the bank to be paid from escrow or just cut the check, not really noticing where it goes. So I think it's helpful to understand where it goes dollar for dollar when we're looking at the borough budget specifically. So through the years, it's helpful to take a look and see where tax rates have gone. The borough tax millage has been stable for the last 2 years. This would be the third if the 2022 budget is approved. Wayne County has also been stable for the last 2 years, and Wayne Highlands has been stable for the last 3 years. A little bit of a different viewpoint, just looking at the borough, you can see, like I said, this would be the third year that our taxes have stayed the same. And the only difference being that the general purpose tax is going to go down a little bit this year and the fire tax will go up, which makes no difference to the taxpayer on a dollar basis, but helps our fire departments out greatly. Some of our sources of income, there's a lot up there, but we'll just hit some of the big ones. 58% approximately comes from tax dollars. About 18% for 2022 will be carryover cash from 2021, which also helps us operate the beginning of the year before our tax bills are received. About 4% from parking, about 4% from grants, and the other 16% comes from various other sources. Some of the big ways we spend money in the Honesdale Borough. Important to know so we can really grasp an idea of our financial position, what hurts us, what helps us, really hone in on what's important to us and what we want to spend on. The police department being one of our biggest, highways, streets, and parking being another large one. PTO and comp time liability, which as I mentioned before, we are working on reducing that in years to come. It's rather large right now, though. And our capital budgeting, which is our budget for larger assets, which I'll show you a little bit more of. So we keep this capital budget going over a rolling 5 year period, and some of the big things are police cruisers, computer replacements, building maintenance, brick repointing on our buildings, new windows, roofs repairs, replacements, things that you would have in your household budget as well. You know they're coming several years in advance. Some of the other things within our capital budget include filing cabinets, trucks for our DPW department, and parking meters. The whole idea really is to provide financial security by setting aside funds for relatively expensive assets that we know we will continually need to replace in the future. That way we can focus on finding alternative funding for the very expensive projects like replacing stormwater lines. This is recommended by the PSAB and is considered responsible in general for any budget. Probably half of you are sitting out here for this next slide. You'd probably be happy to know that we did not include any revenue from the earned income tax in the 2022 budget. While the Finance Committee recognizes that the borough needs to take some kind of action, we would certainly not do it by force. And we do seek to be responsive to public input so that we can represent you well. However, in my opinion, the EIT discussion opened up important dialogue between the people of Holmesdale. We need to be very mindful that public safety is costly, but important. Our stormwater systems are just as important and costly, and will continue to need repair and replacement. We'll have to work together to find creative solutions to fund these line items, and we hope to see continued involvement from the public. It was great to have such public comment when everyone was upset. It would be even better to see positive public participation with active ideas and solutions. I encourage you to keep coming to the meetings, voicing your concerns, opinions, and ideas. We definitely need them. Just to touch on some things that we are doing to proactively help the borough's financial situation. There was a proposed zoning amendment. It's not passed yet, but it's floating out there being discussed. And it would make upper floor downtown development a bit easier, a bit more feasible for developers going forward, which in hopes would reduce Holmesdale's assessment values and therefore generate tax dollars and be good economically as a whole. We're also going to use some ARP funding that was received to repair stormwater lines at the root of the problem, which is something we're allowed to do with those funds. It takes a little bit of the burden off of the local taxpayer. And we're going to stick to our capital budget. And that'll help the borough to have less surprise expenses going forward, so we can keep our focus. So what are we looking at beyond 2022, 2023, 2024, what's coming? What do we face in years to come? When I look at our estimate for 2021 and end of year cash balance of $1.9 million, compared to our estimated 2022 cash balance at the end of the year of $817,000, we can see that during 2022, some of our expenses will likely be funded with cash reserves. The current finance committee plans to continue to spend conservatively here in 2022. However, the truth of the matter is that there could be a need to either increase millage or reduce spending on services in future years. We're committed to doing our best to slow this down and prevent it altogether, but I make this statement to emphasize the importance of creativity in finding alternate funding sources for borough expenses, as well as finding ways to spend less. I hope this has given you some basic information. Feel free to ask questions. We're happy to answer them. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Okay, at this time, we are going to allow public comment. We have the list. Judy, if you want to bring that up to me, please.
Sue, did you? Sue, are you registered?
Okay, we have, at this time, we have four names listed as wishing to speak this evening. The first person asking to speak this evening is Derek Williams. Could you please come to the podium?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for that rundown, Derek. I found that to be really helpful. Is that on, will that be up on the website? Is it like a PowerPoint or something?
It is, but I don't have a problem doing that. We can do that again, right?
Cool. I think that was easily readable. So, and it kind of ties into what I wanted to talk about, which is just the value of discussion in general, and having that in that moment is a very helpful thing to have while we're all talking about taxes and so on, because, you know, as we all know, it can sometimes feel like we're legislating or crafting policy just around citizen concerns and complaints, and that's always ever just part of the conversation. So being proactive and talking about the numbers is a really helpful note. We'll kind of just jump right to tax-wise. You know, as far as the overall conversation goes, I wanted to point out that on the brochure, the section where it talks about how the earned income tax might affect me, it lists three bullet points, and each one of them is for a property owner. And that, of course, is helpful for the property owners, but we have a lot of renters and non-property owners in town, and it would be great to have a little breakdown of what that tax could mean for them. Tom Shepstone at the last couple meetings made some good points about what it could mean for working folks who do own property, and that extra context was helpful. But, you know, for those of us who don't own their property, not me, but a lot of my neighbors, I think it's really important to have them built right into the discussion up front so everyone feels heard. The couple notes beyond that, these are outside the realm of taxation, but came to my attention recently, there was a safety concern on E Street, and I believe the police chief told the person who brought that concern to light that they don't care. So I think that's worth shedding some light on. That might be an apology-worthy type situation for that public official. And lastly, as far as creative budgeting and everything goes, you know, we have that, you know, as we all know, more buildings tend to come down than go up in the borough. It's just kind of the nature of the cycle we're on, and I think we'll be cresting out of that at some point. But one big building right now is the ambulance building down on 12th Street. The hospital has it, and the county has some grant money to demolish it. I talked to them about that at a recent county commissioners meeting, and they opened up the door to hearing options from developers. You know, what they do with that information, I couldn't say, but they did explicitly say on record at the meeting that they would hear developer interest if any were to come to light. So if any of us in our extended networks know of anybody who's interested or has connections in the contracting industry, it would be a good opportunity to bring those people to the table to have conversations, because if at all possible, any building like that that could be saved is worth saving, because it would be an opportunity to put something back on the tax rolls. And I think with that conversation in general, you know, we've all talked about the tax revenue gap we have with some of our institutional partners around town. And, you know, the dialogue that we're having now can hopefully evolve into dialogue that we have with our county partners, even if it feels like it's something that we're pushing back on. You know, it's the demolition of something or the change of property that could be useful without the full discussion of potentially saving that, particularly in an environment when the county's buying property for $400,000 off the open market and taking it off the tax rolls, presumably. I think it's a good conversation that we could be having with the county on a regular basis. So I was happy to speak to some of that with them recently, and I hope that's something that we can all do going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek. Next person asking to speak is Bob Ricker.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to comment on your thoughts. That was very good, the point that he made about properties that we're taking off the tax rolls, because the balance is way off at this point. I think his comments are very good. I'm not going to speak more about that, but I was going to, but I think he said it very well. Another thing, Jeff Thall and Tom Shepstone, I thought, did a very good job at presenting themselves. They did both did an independent study, and both came up with the same answers, which I thought was very, very good. And I think we should listen a little bit, some of our local guys right here in town, on their thoughts of how the borough could operate. The other thing is, I didn't know anything about the 1% was not in the budget, so therefore they didn't vote on it. I thought that that was still an ongoing issue, but I found out tonight, and when I arrived here, that it's not an issue. It's been taken off the table at this point. So that's not in the works. The other thing I found out pertaining to subjects like that of major magnitude that affects the employers and their workers under them, a lot of people that I talked to didn't know that that was going on. And I was quite surprised that these people that have businesses in town didn't know that this 1% tax was being implemented. And it's people you all know, and I just couldn't believe that they didn't know what was going on. They said, when I bring the subject up, they'd say, that's the first I've heard of it. And it seems like we need a better way to implement out there how the word gets out. Just putting it in the paper, nobody reads the paper. Mm-hmm. Putting it on the website, nobody's gonna go on the website and look at the website. It's either spread by local gossip in town or just word of mouth. That's about the only way it gets out. We can check the box and say we did the job, but it doesn't get out there. I was amazed at the amount of people that did not know, employers that did not know that this was happening. So that's just another little tidbit to put in your... another thing you mentioned about stormwater, we were quite involved with the stormwater runoff on 191. We fought this for a couple of years, and that's at Prompton Tool in Clark's Market. Clark's Market was getting flooded out. We on our own went and put sandbags and diverted the water. At one point, the ditches where the water comes off Water Street and off the hill section, and split the water so we go two different ways and not impact coming out on 191 as much. And that's still up there today, and that's helped quite a bit. But we did that on our own, nobody else. But we finally ended up down at Fritz's, down at Jonathan Fritz at his office, and we had District, and we had PennDOT. At that time was John Osborne, and I forget the other person's name, but they were the guys who were down there. And we ended up that we partnership between the state and the borough. Rich Doney was there. He was part of the meeting. And it ended up that the borough supplied the labor and the state would supply the material for that project. So the state sent up a vac truck, backed out the pipe across 191 at Clark's and going into our parking lot, opened it up, and then Rich Doney dug the hole on the other side in the parking lot, put the concrete boxes down in the ground, and then put another pipe in and ran it out alongside of Clark's and down over the hill. So with that being said, sometimes maybe seeing these projects that are coming up, maybe a little bit of partnership with the state instead of the state dumping it all on the borough and expecting them to take care of these. It's not going to happen. It's too big a project. I think if we could go back to the table and renegotiate with them guys, even though they dumped it on you, I think maybe we could do something and get the state to help out along instead of saying that it's your job. So put that in and see if we can get something done there in that manner. The budget, when we looked at the budget and the biggest expense up there is the police department. Our police department at present right now is only a daytime deal, really. Hiring two more officers to go on there at that expense and seeing it the way the borough is getting money back in, and we don't have the businesses to support this like we did. We lost over 1,000 jobs in the borough between 1980 and the early 90s. We can't support these functions like we used to. And you can't put it all on a few people. So maybe we should start thinking about, you know, yep, safety is nice, but in reality, it's not practical. It's not there. We should maybe think about this a lot more, seeing that's one of our bigger expenses. The other thing is, what is the total amount collected when all said and done? What would be the total? When you have it all broke down in different categories, but what would be the total?
He's looking at it for you now.
I know, I see him doing that. If you don't have it, that's okay. Don't be.
Yeah, it's just over curious. $5 million, but that also includes the tax anticipation notes, so you can take $300,000 off of that.
I didn't hear him. Mm-hmm.
He's talking to himself at this point.
Sorry. It looks like it's just over $5 million, but there's the $300,000 tax anticipation note. It's not really income.
From the banks. Comes from the banks.
Right.
All right, just curious what that number would be.
I mean, those numbers represent money coming in and going back out again, so those numbers aren't necessarily the actual amounts coming in through taxes and what have you. That is in the budget if when you get a copy, it's online and what have you.
We're just curious what the total.
That also includes the beginning balance of this year, so that's not everything we're bringing in. That's not what we're bringing in 2020. That also includes $1.9 million that we're starting the year with.
From past expense, I know that the general budget was running about $3 to $3.5 million per year. I know that's off the cuff numbers, but that's about where it's been. When you look at the budget, as he's looking as a finance person, you have to look at funds that we use a common person. I think most common as they come. You don't necessarily consider that part of your budget, even though it is. That's sort of inflates and deflates in different ways. It's just to be aware.
If we ever encountered thoughts about charging for services other than giving the service away for nothing,
we have to do. But everybody keeps forgetting, whether it be at a school board meeting or here, the state has very strict laws on what we can and cannot do.
Well, what I'm getting at is everybody in the borough should be treated the same.
And we have to. We can only tax based upon what the state.
No, not taxes. I'm talking about services rendered that we automatically give for a given for free.
Such as
snow removal.
We only do in public streets.
But. We do, as we live in the borough, we're our business in the borough, nobody comes up and removes our snow that we push. That's what I'm getting at.
They don't move anybody's snow in the town. They take it off the side, they pick it off in front of the parking spaces.
And they put it,
because the congestion that it causes in town, people cannot get through.
The banks pay for their own.
They do their own.
Stevens Pharmacy
does their own.
What I'm getting at is they pay for what they have. maybe we ought to start considering that maybe